We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast exclusive. I'm Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo continues his vacation. But on the show this weekend, we had Sean Daniels, who is a recent friend of mine, but I feel like I've known this guy forever. And the first time I met you, Sean, I wanted to pull out my phone and record our conversation because you went so deep on so many things. And you're a fast talker and you get a lot of information out there. And I've got a lot of respect for you. Because you are a gun expert. You've been around him a long time. You've been a dealer. And you just had an instant happen where, I talk about first-time gun owners. You've got to learn what you're doing. You've got to know how to clean it. You've got to know how to break it down and to shoot it and know what to expect. You just had a situation like that happen. Somebody came to you with something, and they've never shot this gun.
That is correct.
And tell me how that all came about.
Well, Bo, I appreciate it, and it's good to be on with you today. I've got a friend of mine I've known for a bunch of years. His wife used to work with my wife, Ann, here at St. Louis, the former Pet Incorporated Pet Milk here in St. Louis. And Dean's a great guy, and Dean's not really familiar with firearms and inherited a small Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380 from his father-in-law, who's still with us but is unable to use the firearm. He's in his early 90s now. Sure. Has some health issues. And never been around stuff, but he, like everybody else today, is very concerned about safety and watching TV and seeing all this nonsense about defunding police and not having enough police. He acquired this firearm. And he wanted to get some information on it. Well, I said, come on over. We'll talk. So he came over just probably an hour ago, a little over an hour ago. And the pistol looks unfired. I took it apart. I basically showed him how to field strip it and explained to him the difference between full metal jacket ammo and, of course, hollow point self-defense ammunition. And sure. We talked about it. I fixed him up with some ammo, both hollow point and some full metal jackets, some FMJs for target practice. He wants to come down. We've got property in DeSoto, and he wants to come down and get some instruction on shooting this along with his wife. And this has happened multiple times. I've got another couple we know. Their children went to school with ours. We go to church together. Not real big gun people, but they're also very concerned about their safety. And Pete called my wife a couple weeks back. I think maybe it was his wife, Lynn, had called and said that we'd love to have Sean, show us some stuff, whether it's a rifle or handgun, whatever. And then, once we kind of decide what we want, what we feel, we want something in the house. We want something to protect ourselves. And so that's going to also be happening very soon. Had a lot of calls, seen a lot of firearms come through here. That have been sitting around for a long time that needed a good going over and cleaning because people are concerned. People are very, very concerned about what's going on. This is just, it's getting out of control, and all you have to do is turn the news on every day and you watch it, and it's just, it's like a boiler. It's just the pressures are just building and building and building, and people are concerned about their safety. And
there's this thinking that people need to take a break from the news and not, sit there and consume it over and over and over, because you do get fed this propaganda information, especially with liberal media. But let's go back to your meeting that you had earlier today. What was the temperament of the gentleman with the 380? Was he nervous? Was he excited? What was his mood as you were showing him all the things? And, because he hasn't fired it still, you haven't had a chance to do that.
Correct.
As a first-time gun guy, seeing that from your point of view, did you think he could handle what was about to be happening?
Yeah, I do. Dean's a smart guy. He's shot some guns. I don't think he's ever owned anything himself. But, okay. He was very tuned in. And I stripped the thing in about 10 seconds. It's very easy to get that apart. I've got one. My wife's got one. My daughter carries one as a backup to her service weapon. Very easy. And I just basically explained. But no, he was very interested, very dialed in. He wants to go out and shoot. And what I do when I instruct, and I've been an instructor for over 40 years, what I like to do is I like to give something to people, individuals that show an interest, whether it's target shooting, whether it's hunting, whether it's just self-defense. I want them to be comfortable. Yeah. I don't want them to be afraid of it. You know, you can't be afraid of that. It's a tool. That's what it is. It's a tool, and it needs to be utilized correctly. There are safe methods in handling. I explained to them, you know, okay, and I, we pull the mag out, all right? Guess what? There's another one in the chamber. As long as, you know, you pull that mag out and there was still ammunition in the mag, there's another one in the pipe. You know, these are
still
common sense things. People shoot themselves accidentally because they're not paying attention. You need to understand this, like driving a car. You don't know where the brake pedal is, the gas pedal is, the shifter, the steering wheel. You got to pay attention. You got two eyes. Look out the windows. Don't be playing with your phone. Of course, this,
right.
I don't have to tell you.
It's all about repetition. Sean Daniels is my guest, and it's about repetition. This is why law enforcement or military is trained over and over and over to madness, but it's because it has to be second nature, because when something's happening, when stuff's going down right now, you don't have the mental capacity to think about that part of it, because hopefully you've been trained over and over and over where it's second nature, and now your mind can be on what you're looking at, what's happening in front of you, correct?
Correct. That's the issue. You have to practice. I tell everybody, like some like to pocket carry. They'll have it in the waistband holster, outside the waistband holster, whatever. I said, when you draw that weapon, you have to draw it and get on target. You got to practice. If you've got a manual safety, and I recommend pocket carry, pocket safeties. I love Glocks. I would never stick a Glock 42 or 43 in my pocket without, they don't make one with a manual safety. Now, outside the waistband, different story. In the pocket, if you get into a confrontation, you put your hand in there and you touch that trigger, you're not paying attention, you're going to get a bullet in yourself, and that's not good. So you got to practice, and again, repetition, 100, 200 times. You just keep doing it and doing it towards, because again, like you said, when it hits the fan, and you never know when it's going to hit the fan, you can't think. You've got to immediately know. And it's even for somebody that's seasoned, there's always that split second where but you've got to immediately go into action. And that's where the proper training comes in. And, you know, you need to get the skills, but then you need to keep practicing. And when you think you've practiced enough, practice some more. Load that thing up with snap caps and keep trying that trigger. Get used to that trigger. Get used to reloading, unloading, loading, unloading. You got to do this. And sometimes it drives people nuts. I don't have the time. Well, you got a big responsibility with that firearm. You need to take the time, because if you got to pull it out and use it, you better make sure you know what you're doing. Because my dad always said, he told me two things, Bo, the first time I got a rifle, long, long, long time ago. He told me, he says, I'm going to tell you, Sean, two things. He says, and I never want you to forget these. He says, number one, you know what that is and you know what it can do. If you pick it up in the fit of anger, you're going to ruin your life. And the other thing he told me was, when you pull that trigger, you can't stop that bullet. And he said,
so make sure
you know what you're doing. Keep your finger off the trigger. I still get guys walking around, trigger on a finger. In fact, when I was in high school, there was a guy, it was my year, he was out hunting with his father, deer hunting, and his dad was behind him, had his finger on a trigger, some bolt action, it was an .06 rifle, I remember that, and the father tripped, the gun discharged, it hit his son in the right arm, right above the elbow, and went through, and I think it came out right behind his wrist. He was torn up for months, and this was probably 1970, 71. Keep your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger off the trigger. And this is the big thing when we're out shooting and I'm watching, and usually I used to do more than one or two, and now it's kind of tough. I like to kind of concentrate with just one or two people and really watch. But that's the big thing. Keep that finger off the trigger.
Well, it's like taking a kid fishing. You can't fish when you take a kid fishing. You've got to focus on what they're doing.
That's exactly right.
But I've got to tell you this, Sean, that target practicing for me now is different, because I'm not looking at the target as the circle with the bullseye. I'm thinking to myself the gravity of actually having to take somebody's life in to protect my own. You know, we've all seen the movies. We've all seen cowboy movies or detective movies. It's like, boom, boom, boom. It's so easy. Ann Dorn at the Republican National Convention said it so perfectly when she said, this is not a video game. This That's is right. not where you can just hit reset and start over again.
That's right.
This is life Serious and business. Death. And so when you're doing your target practicing, you actually have to think about it. And I know they've got the 3D targets now that look like a human, but you have to think about that, you know, differently. Video games are, in one sense, are great practice because you're getting through that motion and you're visualizing it, but it's also desensitizing us in a way, and younger minds as well. Sean Daniels is my guest, and I'm calling you my new friend, my fast friend, because I just really enjoyed meeting you the first time and I'm enjoying this conversation. But you started the conversation before we started recording the podcast exclusive for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, that if you think in America that Second Amendment rights could never go away, you are mistaken. You are mistaken highly. And I want you to refer to the story that you shared with me before we started this part of the program.
Sure, Bo. I presume most listeners probably get, well, not everybody's a member of the NRA, and I know they've had some criticism lately, but it is a good organization, and it's had its issues, and people are going after them for this or that, but it's a wonderful organization. And the September issue, 2020, I just received a week ago, had an article in there on Che Guevara, who, for those of you who do not know, he was a radical Marxist communist revolutionary, was involved in the revolution in Cuba with Fidel Castro and his brother Raul. This guy was a butcher, and it amazes me today that I see youngsters, 20s, sometimes in their 30s, running around with pictures of this guy. He was not a hero. This guy hated America. He hated capitalism. And he had no problem putting a bullet through you. He wouldn't lose a second worth of sleep. But there was a neat actually, there was a couple paragraphs in here that just amazed me. But talking about after Cuba succumbed to Castro's revolution. And this article was based on an individual that works for the NRA that went there in 2017, went down to Cuba and was doing a fact-finding thing on, like, gun ownership and stuff. And he wrote here in this article, and if everybody's read this, if not, I recommend you find that September 2020 edition or get it online. I'm sure you can get it online. But it says
I'm sure, but paraphrase it.
Sure. It says, I learned later that one of Castro's first decrees in 1959 ended all private ownership of guns when he announced. This is the thing. Castro said this. This is not a dictatorship. We are never going to use force because we belong to the people. Moreover, the day that the people do not want us, we shall leave. As soon as possible, I will take the rifles off the streets. There are no more enemies. There is no longer anything to fight against. That blows me away. And look at what's happened in Cuba since. My God. That's where we're heading. This is the mindset of these Marxist communists that are out there that are burning down the buildings, that are destroying our heritage. You know, America's not perfect. We've made mistakes. I don't see people leaving America and breaking into Cuba or North Korea. I see people trying to get out, and they're losing their lives to try to get the freedom. We're not perfect, but we are the next best thing to perfect on this earth.
And they are losing. They're losing their lives to just to try and believe in a religion that they want to. That's mind control. I appreciate Sean. I appreciate you sharing that bit of the story. And you said that was the September NRA magazine.
I'd highly recommend reading the article that really goes into detail about this guy that so many people think is just a great hero. This guy was, he was a butcher. He was a butcher and a murderer. And my God, we don't need to go in this direction. This is just not the direction we need to go to.
I really look at the young people that are on the screens, you know, on the reports of, you know, the protests and stuff, and they're just so young and they're so misinformed and misguided. They have no clue as to what they're, you know, creating this destruction and looting for, but yet they're doing it. One friend of mine, you know, said, you know what, it's almost like a cult following it, you know, because they're just being fed this information. They're believing it. And again, if, you know, it's so bad when a man on the street reporter goes, hey, why are you out here? And they're like, I don't know. We're just burning stuff down. I mean, literally, that's their mindset. It's just it's terrible. Sean, it is a great pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time on our Second Amendment Radio and a Great Outdoors podcast exclusive. And I really hope our paths cross again very soon. Very soon. I got big questions for you, man.
I do too, Bo. I appreciate it. You have yourself a wonderful day, and God bless America. God bless the USA.
Amen to that. That's Sean Daniels. My name is Bo Matthews. And for Tony Colombo, who's on vacation, and our executive producer, Chad Ellis, this is the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.